the word that you use a lot is really, that's really helpful to me is nourishment and connection. And so I just think this is really timely, brother, because it's already such a helpful part in my journey, just finding your content online and consuming it. Just the point of view at which you have on sex is just so, it's refreshing, and it's already provided for me an additional teacher on my tool belt to continue on my journey. So thank you, man, for all the work you do.
Awesome. Awesome. Can you tell me a bit more about it? I'm always curious about like what, how you see it from your perspective, my work, like what, how would you describe it?
The most, I mean, there's a couple of things that stand out to me as being really interesting so far. One of the things is, the spectrum of sexual experiences that can be had, and how pleasure or an excitement are, is one of the things on the spectrum. And things like meditation are not exciting, but deeply powerful and beneficial. And so don't limit your sexual experiences to just the way that maybe you've picked up through, you know, social programming or capitalism. It's this exciting, more, better, sexier, hotter, adding more pizzazz and more glitter onto it. But open yourself to a wider spectrum of sexual experiences. That is something that's been really impactful for me. That's something that, you know, the phrase good shit sticks, that's stuck with me. Another thing that's stuck with me is the talking about the female's desire for sex not being about orgasm. And that is that to me was like a really, really helpful shift. Cause then you go into, and admittedly, so that was just last night that I watched that specific video. So I haven't had the opportunity to have sex with my partner and keep in mind that her deepest desire may not be for pleasure in a surface level sensory body experience and orgasm, but to feel the connection and to feel the worship and the love from her partner, which is me. So those
man, I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, cool, man. So those are two really great things.
Yeah, like I respect you massively as well because obviously, like I watched some of the clips of, obviously, you know, I can't watch your whole channel, but you know, I've tried to watch some of the clips. I was just curious, and I watched the whole conversation with Lauren. That was like so beautiful.
Wow,
you know?
Thanks.
And I could, you know, I could kind of see sort of the journey that you've gone through, and it's just really amazing. It's amazing that you've done it all yourself. Mm. You've kind of, I could see where you started. I could see where you are now. It's really incredible, you know?
Yeah, man.
So,
yeah, dude, some background on that, man. I was raised with a really funky relationship with sex because of just being raised super religious, you know, religious. Everything was sin. Everything was bad. And, you know, once you got married, you could have sex, and then it was good. Then you could do it, but even then, it was kind of a hush hush thing, you know. And so it's been really cool, man. It's been a really, really awesome journey to here. Because when you can't do something, you know, when you repress it, then you get this obsessive thing about it—repression, obsession, that whole thing. And so, for the most of my adult life, it's been an obsessive relationship with sex. I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get what I want so badly, and I want it so badly because I never allowed myself to have it. And so it's been this, it's been this like very slow, trusting release of this clenched fist around sexual obsession and allowing myself to just not orient my entire life around sexuality. And at the same time, deepen so much more in my sex practice, becoming such a better lover as at the same time becoming less and less and less fixated on sex in my normal life. You know,
What did you like, how did that happen for you? Did you have some kind of sources that influenced you, or like, what helped you in that journey? What were your sources? Or was it like completely sort of grassroots kind of thing?
Well, it was, I mean, I definitely have a really awesome therapist that I've seen for a while, though our work isn't so much in sex, and the whole mm-hmm. sex thing is more of an afterthought in our conversations. So I think most of it's been more, yeah, just like self-teaching, inspired deeply by the moments of
amazing
peak moments of like sexual scenes, you know, like this should be awesome, you know, but extremely void of any sexuality or feeling in my body. Those moments for me of just like more, just more excitement and more people, more bodies, more lovers, more porn, more hookups, more hookers. I mean, like just more. And, you know, that same song rings in the back of my head. I can't get no satisfaction. And eventually, about 2.5 years ago, I was like, fuck, this is broken.
This will never end.
This will never end. And there's this quality of sorts that the harder I push towards this, the more it, like, I accelerate quickly towards this idea of satisfaction, and the rush is exciting, but I don't think I'm ever going to get there. And there's an equally very frustrating part of it. And then my whole relationship with sex was just compulsive. I just was irritated and I wanted some. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, dude, that's been my journey, man. Just tons of reading, tons of learning, and it's fucking tons of journaling and self-discovery and practice, man.
Have you been reading things about sex as well?
Have I read things about sex?
Well, you mentioned David Dade, so you read that.
Yeah, not until recently. I just read the book The Way of the Superior Man about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And that's been really helpful mm-hmm. for me. And then also mm-hmm. I just started reading,
I can see, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm about halfway through the book Dear Lover by David Dade too. And there's another book, From the Core, that I've listened to by John Wineland, but that's all been in the last like 6 weeks or so, man. Most of it has been like, mm-hmm. most of it's been like, you know, tuning into my body, lots of meditation, lots of like kind of alchemy with the feeling, like, what does it feel like in my body when I feel what I label as being horny? And, you know, if I really tune into that, it felt more like an irritation, kind of the way I've described it as like being in a hot car, like, get me fucking out. Like, I just, I need this thing. I need stimulation. I need entertainment. And just a kind of an obsession of sorts with like, dude, that's fucked up. Like, how I need to get in there. I need to figure this out. And so then, you know, a couple YouTube videos every couple weeks helps you grab the next rung. You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, hey, we could like talk about the next step of the journey kind of thing.
Yeah.
Now that you're out of the cage.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Now that I'm out of the cage, man. Yeah, dude, 100%. It definitely feels like an out of the cave kind of situation, out of the cage situation, mm-hmm. where I've gone mm-hmm. from this just like this deep, confusing, misdirected, an addiction, really, of just trying to dig down to satisfaction and getting more and more lost, to now really finding my way up through the top, almost like I'm the hole has gotten much smaller, and now I'm at the surface level. Now I'm at sea level, man. And now it's like, okay, I'm starting to see these two feelings start to come up, where one says purpose and one says pleasure. And one says in my sex, I can go for more pleasure, which I've done that a lot. Objectification of people, of my partner, sexual stimulus through pornography. And I've done the whole get more pleasure route. But the other mm-hmm. one that's coming up is like in the book, Way of Superior Man, one thing that's talked about a lot is is sex in service of love, and and essentially opening the heart of your lover to be expression of love itself, and to be, that's the nourishing experience for the feminine. And so there's a kind of a concept that is newer to me, which is like the ejaculation being held off in means of devotion towards your lover, so that you can do the job. You can really be present and make love with somebody without just unconsciously dropping off into, you know, just an ejaculation and going like, well, I'm tapped out, I'm out of here. So that's kind of where I'm at now. It's like looking at my sex practice going like, okay, you know, I can do the whole like, oh, I feel so good, this is so fucking good for me and I'm feeling amazing and this is my moment and I'm feeling awesome. Or I can go like deep connection with my lover and evoking out of her this feeling of openness as I'm penetrating her, not just me, but with my presence and my unwavering attention and devotion. That's kind of where I'm at now, man.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah. I mean, lots of things like we can talk about.
Yeah.
And I can sort of, I can try to contribute. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to use the restroom real quick. When we come back, I'd love to hear.
Yeah.
Kind of your story, man, how you got into doing this work. I know you've been doing this for 2 decades now.
Sure.
And then we can just let the conversation roll and see what comes up, brother. My man.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back, baby. A quick little intermission. Yeah, dude. So tell me about you, man.
Tell you about me. Well, so yeah, like I said, like you said, I've been working for 20 years. My trajectory was, I started with as a professional. I mean, obviously there was a personal story before that, but as a professional, so I never worked with just purely mainstream perspective on sex. So just kind of like a conventional sex therapist or conventional sex practice.
Never did that.
Never did that in the sense that, okay, so sometimes people start with a conventional perspective and then they add sort of things from sacred sexuality, alternative sexuality, maybe some tantric stuff, etc. You know, for me, it was a little bit like the opposite. So my initial interest was in all the alternative teachings and what is now called, you know, sacred, conscious sexuality, alternative strands of it. So that's what I initially like learned about and trained in, and that's what I started working with. But it's actually over the time that I started to fuse it more with, you know, as you do in your work, you follow sex science, you follow sort of some maybe kind of more mainstream thoughts that are maybe good and they're useful and sort of where science converges with, you know, with those other teachings. So you know, over time, actually, I kind of brought more and more of it in, but that wasn't the foundation. So my foundation was always to look at sex as from the perspective of, you know, the concept of sexual energy. What is the deeper experience? What is the more enriching experience than the kind of how sex was described at the time in the mainstream sources?
Which was what? Like, what's your opinion on how it's described in the mainstream sources?
How would I describe it?
Yeah,
mainstream sources.
What do they describe?
Okay, interesting.
As?
Yeah, so it's described mainly as, well, interesting point. I think mainly I would say is described as pleasure and entertainment.
Yeah.
So that would be like the two main concepts that I would say.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're gonna have some really highly professional people who are therapists and they work with issues like, you know, intimacy and communication and, you know, fulfillment of couples, but there's still a bit of a perspective of sex that is just like a fun, pleasurable thing we do. Mm-hmm. And I always saw there was a lot more in it than that. So from the very first time I had sex myself. And I still see sort of that there is a lot more in it than that. And my life's work has been to try to explore that a little bit, try to kind of discover more of that through practices, you know.
You've been doing this work since
21. I started working.
Wow. That's, yes. That's so cool, man.
Yes.
That's so cool. Yeah. Yeah, your perspective on modern perspective on sex is pleasure and entertainment. I agree. And I think that it's interesting that it's all solo, right? It's like what you can get from it. You can get some pleasure, you can get some entertainment, and then you can go on about your merry way. It doesn't feel, there's not a texture to it that feels very much aimed at connection or nourishment.
Yes, I think there is the culture, and then there is what people really want in their hearts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So obviously a lot of people are influenced by culture. So I think the culture has formed around that concept, but I believe that, you know, what people really desire for in their heart and what they look for is what you're talking about, you know, a deeper connection. But I think it's frustrating for a lot of people that you basically, like, you have a very primitive tool to try to reach that deeper and richer experience. And that becomes frustrating because we're kind of striving to, you know, we've been given this concept of pleasure, while in fact what we want is a deeper nourishment and love and connection. We kind of intuit that, but we're trying to achieve it with pleasure and it's falling short, you see.
Do you think that that's like a, is that a tripwire of sorts just in the spiritual journey of life, you know, like just getting past the pleasure tendency? Just like, oh, it feels so good. And you could just like forget it all because it feels so good. And you know what I'm saying?
What do you mean by that, tripwire?
Like in our heart, it's many of us can find this desire in our heart for connection. And we can sense, we can, you know, intuit that there's this, man, what I'm really after is not success. It's not achievement. It's not even pleasure. It's this deep sense of connection with others or connection with the beloved. And that is what would be that's what my heart and soul longs for. And so the method that we can achieve that through in one way is sex. But sex has these kind of like little deceiver gremlins of sorts that are like, come over here, you can have more pleasure this way. And you're like, this feels great. And so you kind of get lost in the moment, the haze, because it feels so good that you lose your focus on, I'm here for the connection. I'm here for the conversation. Almost like you had a negotiation with someone you wanted to do business with, and you went and ate at a restaurant that was so good, you forgot what you were there to talk about. You're just like, this pasta is incredible, you know, and you left all full, your belly, oh, but you didn't leave getting what you really came for. That's what I mean by tripwire, like a deception of sorts.
That's interesting. I think they're definitely not mutually exclusive, and you can definitely feel very present to your pleasure, as you know, and to be very conscious in it and to feel a tremendous connection during it. So if you are so intended, I think it's not so much a distraction. It can be an experience where you feel it's a difference between being lost and being with it and being really present. So you can experience a lot more pleasure by actually being present without being lost, if that makes sense. You know, and probably being present is actually your most important sexual technique in terms of actually intensifying and increasing pleasure, you know, without getting lost. But there are both ways of doing it. One is to get lost and one is to stay present. So it's whichever one you choose. So both options are available.
In the pleasure.
Yes, if that makes sense. And it's also about how there is an experience of richness and beauty in this moment and like really feeling what is happening. And then there's the experience of escape and escalating, right?
What do you mean?
Which are also sort of, well, for example, the typical approach to sex in our culture is to, you know, to try to intensify, to try to find some novelty, to try to find something more engaging, to try to basically stimulate the kind of the clickbaity thing in your mind, rather than to focus on the feel good, the blissfulness, the beauty, the nourishment that is here already. Yeah. And to appreciate it more and deeper, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's something I'd love to hear you talk more about, man, because that feels like a dynamic that needs more language around it that people can hear and begin mm-hmm. to open up their mind that, oh mm-hmm. man, there is a different direction I can take these sexual moments. Instead of thinking more, better, more, better, more, better, I can think deeper and more sensitive to the wider spectrum of emotions that are happening right now.
Hmm. Hmm. Yeah, language is difficult because we don't have language at all for sex. You know, I have thought about this because it's been sort of forbidden for so many years, really, sex. So it's like while we were developing language about arts and literature and everything, we just had this thing that was there, like we just didn't talk about it, so we literally just don't have language for it.
Yeah.
I find this really interesting.
Yeah.
There's like these five words, you know, pleasure, turn on, orgasm.
Fucking.
Two more, I forget which ones they are, you know, yes. Yeah. And it's like such a varied and nuanced field. It's like, you know, like if you think about music, how much language you use for music, I mean, this is like even more varied. Mm-hmm. Maybe not more, but just as varied, you know?
Yeah.
So unfortunately, yes, you know, we do struggle to explain it with, to have language for it, you know? And that's why I try to kind of to introduce new words for it where I can.
Yeah.
To differentiate. For example, you know, I never talk about pleasure, for example. Like, I've literally, you wouldn't see the word pleasure in any of my videos. Like,
yeah.
I always talk about sexual energy.
Yeah. Like, if this was a video right now and it said, stop having sex for pleasure, and someone clicked it, what would Alex say begin to talk about? You know?
Well, it makes me sound like I'm against pleasure, which I'm not.
Of course.
It's not like it's not mutually exclusive, it's not incompatible, it's more like expanding.
Yeah.
Expanding, kind of seeing it as a bigger thing and a more expansive thing and a richer thing, and it's got more components to it than we thought. Because when we think about pleasure, you know, pleasure can be physical, can be psychological, yeah. So it's like either entertainment or a sensation, like pleasant sensation in the body. But the reason I see sex as sexual energy is because I think there's just more happening there in every moment, apart from, you know, even that physical sensation, for example, is has a sense of energy to it, a sense of aliveness, a sense of some kind of nutrition, some kind of enrichment to it. That's more than just having a pleasant sensation with an object on your skin, for example. Yeah, so it kind of really runs through your body. If you think about things like love that flows between bodies and connection that you feel right now between you, these are, in effect, they are substances which we still haven't really kind of explained more clearly in a more detailed or scientific way. We can imagine them as substances that affect us, that we really feel in this moment. They sort of go somewhere and they are absorbed by us and they have an impact. Now, all of that is happening at the same time.
Like the substances are,
so
like,
for me, that
connection and closeness,
yeah,
or substances, you're saying?
Love, connection, closeness, closeness of the bodies, the energy of the bodies, the feel good of the bodies, and the sexual energy that's flowing, the sexual sensation that is flowing. Mm. Now, all of that is there in the same moment. Mm-hmm. So through one touch, through one touch, that's the composition of every touch. So for me, that is a lot more than pleasure. And the way it impacts us, the way it affects us, is a lot deeper than just having something pleasant, you know?
Yeah.
That's the way I see it.
100%. It's like, it seems that you've taken it a step further, because for most of like my friends that I talk to, the conversation goes like, you know, either A, they don't feel good during sex, period. And so it's like, you know, I asked my friend a couple of years ago, do you feel good during sex, or do you feel good about the fact that you're having sex, while you're having sex? Mm-hmm. It's like, does your penis actually feel good? And the answer was like, they're like, I don't really pay attention to it. And then the answer was like, nah, not really. I kind of feel good during orgasm, but the rest I don't feel good. So there's like that level. And then the next level would be like, I actually feel good during sex. I actually feel really good. My body, I can actually feel what's going on in my body. I'm embodied. I've connected with pleasure. Mm-hmm. Then it seems like the furthest that most of the people that I've talked to get is like, move past just your body feeling good and focus on making your partner feel good. And that's about as far as the school of thought has gotten. Until I've bumped into a couple people, you being one of them, that says, you know, your ideal of what sex is about is too narrow. You've narrowed it down to just being pleasure, being entertainment or sensation. Widen that to include all these other things of connection and soul nourishment and love. It's really, really interesting.
Yeah. We open our capacity to feel things with practices. So there is where somebody is at the moment, like what you are commenting on. You know, people are at different stages that you've spoken to. You've moved through different stages yourself. So the more you sensitize your ability to perceive, to feel sexual energy, the more of that experience you discover. And then that becomes, you know, more and more reinforced reality for you, that you've seen yourself from your experience. You know, so it's basically just cooking a better meal and then seeing how nice it is, you know.
Yeah.
Essentially,
how do you, so we talked a little bit before we started rolling about my own journey out of sexual compulsive behavior into embodied pleasure, and now moving into trying to practice feeling those other aspects of the sexual experience. What advice do you have to me and the listeners that have a similar experience to mine, that they've come out of the cage, so to speak, and they've now become back in touch with their own sensations in their body, and now they want to step into being a better lover, and not for their own shallow pleasure and sense of like validation, but to really open the space so that love can exist between two bodies?
I think it's important to create the purpose. What is this whole experience for? If you're not going to do it for escape, if you're not going to do it for just entertaining yourself, then it's an interesting question. Well, what is it going to be for? I liked when you raised that in your conversation with Lauren. You said, you know, well, there's almost like a new meaning that's we are sort of finding in sex. It's interesting to define more what is the meaning, you know. I found it useful to kind of see sex as basically a field of nourishing energy that you go into. So the sense of nourishment, I think, is essentially, you know, the reason I use that concept a lot is because I think it has everything in it, if you relate to it this way. So it does have pleasure, but also it has nutrition, it has enrichment, and it's also quite a wide range. So it's not limited to one particular kind of sex. Everything can be nourishing in different ways. So if you see sex as a, it's basically a time, it's like a dimension in your life where you go and you spend some time saturating with all that nourishing energy that is composed of the sensation and what you call sexual energy and love and connection. It's all kind of mixed in there. The effect of it is being saturated and enriched by it, and then you take it with you. So it's kind of like if you imagine yourself. I mean, you don't need to imagine yourself that way, but you know, to simplify it, it's like you're a sponge that's basically soaking it up. So that's the purpose of sex, rather than in the mainstream, it's exactly the opposite. Mm-hmm. It's like you're bursting. You're like you're a bursting balloon. You need to release it because otherwise you're going to die. You know, so yeah. It's like having to release it all out of yourself. Yeah,
I want to. Yeah, that right there, man. Like, there's a paradigm shift of sorts that you can enter with sex, where you it's no longer about the orgasm, it's no longer about ejaculation, especially for men, mm-hmm. you know. And mm-hmm. and then you go like, if everything I'm doing is not a means to have a climax, an orgasm, ejaculation, then what's the point of it? And then you could start filling in that blank space with answers like this. Well, you know, sex is a field of nourishing yes. energy to enter. And the idea is to saturate yourself in the sexual energy, to spend yes. time in that space where sexual energy is yes. flowing, so that you can appear back in your life fuller and richer.
Yes. Yes. Because there's a really amazing substances to take with you. And it's kind of silly that we've created this whole concept that you're supposed to be like, the purpose is to empty yourself of all of this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Maybe it's some like, maybe it's our roots, man. Maybe it's the Puritanism and stuff, you know, where you go like, the purpose is to get rid of it. You know, like the purpose is to get that shit out, you know?
I think it's just something that hasn't been updated, to be honest. It's clearly, you know, in a more, back in the day, back in the bush, you know, it was like things were very we are in a different stage. It just hasn't really been updated, to be honest. You know, it's become more than anything, it's been kind of hijacked by the commercial culture and just, you know, hyped up. The orgasm is this and the sensationalism of it, but conceptually it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Maybe
and what I wanted to say as well,
I was just going to say, maybe that's one of the great, maybe that's a great way to enter this. You know, I've got like step one, how to move on to the next level. Step one, what's the purpose mm-hmm. of this? And is the purpose ejaculation mm-hmm. and orgasm? Is the purpose just a pursuit of the climax of pleasure? Or could you see sex as a field of nourishing energy to enter, and saturation mm-hmm. is the point to saturate yourself? And that why you're having sex, you know, while I'm having sex, while anyone's having sex, if you just check in your brain and say like, what am I doing right now? What am I trying to go for right now?
Exactly.
Man, I'm actually just going for orgasm. You go, okay, well let's open up mind to consider, maybe we could just go for what's happening right now. Maybe we just kind of bask in this and move in this and try to expand the space that we're existing in.
Exactly. You know, you probably have encountered that there are already a lot of people practicing sort of non-ejaculation and techniques for, I don't know, like squeezing this or squeezing that and channeling sexual energy this way. Yeah.
Yeah.
But an interesting thing to add to this conversation is, I think, like, you're exactly on point here. The most important technique in all of this is not a physical technique of how you're managing your sexual energy in your body. That's fairly easy. The most important thing is your mindset, is like, where is your mind in it all? What are you doing with it? Because if you're just, you know, trying to make sex longer, that's a crappy purpose, because like you're just suffering, you're just denying something to yourself. You know, I want to finish it now, but I'm trying to make it longer. why are you trying to make it longer?
Yeah, you good know? Question.
Like, why are you trying to make it longer? What's the point? Yeah. Well, I'm trying to make it longer because it means that I have more energy flowing into me. Mm. That's why I'm trying to make it longer.
And
you know, it means I get more filled up. And that means that in the moment you're enjoying it as it's flowing into you.
But that's what I meant earlier, is the tripwire, Alexei, is like, you know, you're, that's a great way to experience sex, is to bask in it, to be nourished by it and to be saturated by it. But there's this push now for like an increase in pleasure, and it's almost impossible for most people to like not just press the button, you know, so they miss out on sitting in that experience.
I'd say we've learned harder things in our childhood,
yeah,
to control ourselves,
so. Yeah. And it's really interesting that I can tell that my language on this and your language is different, because I tend to talk more from like it's being mutually exclusive, like it's pleasure or it's the other things.
Exactly.
And yours, yeah, is more of like, yeah, let's just widen and encompass it all.
And another thing I want to tell you about this is like a lot of guys get scared. They're like, oh, never have an orgasm again. I'm going to explode. I'm going to die. You know, I can't do this. But like, it really doesn't need to be like, you can come. You can come at the end. Like, you don't even need to do non-ejaculation. Non-ejaculation is a great practice, especially in a long-term relationship, probably essential, like, you know, in sort of in a proportionate amount. So it's a good thing to take up, but that's not the point. Like, you can come at the end, but with the awareness that the main purpose of it was still to saturate before that.
Yeah.
You know, that was the main meal, and then you can decide to come, not to come. So
yeah,
that's still there.
It's man, it's really cool. Like, the videos, the stuff you talk about is really cool. One thing that I watched last night, I was listening to, I was cooking a burrito and listening to you spiel some wisdom, was about like the how us as men, we focus so much on coming. And it's like, you know, you said, you know, that the guys are afraid not to come. that was a really funny choice of language. Like, they're afraid not to, like, they don't know what's going to happen if they don't come. Like, they must come. You know, like they mm-hmm. couldn't imagine mm-hmm. not coming. And mm-hmm. It's like, you know, and then if they don't feel like they're going to come, they have, like, we feel this instinct to make sure that we come. And so then it's transitions from like this consensual experience to like me using your body so that I can finally come. And that's kind of that's mm-hmm. interesting, man. That's interesting. And it's so solo.
Yes, and
it's so self-indulgent, you know, it's
yes.
so much about yourself yeah. instead of participating through the union of someone else to create the space to soak in.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something, from talking to a lot of women, I mean, they really know that moment.
Yeah.
They can see it. They can feel it. And it really changes the mood for them. And it's one of the reasons, actually, why, apart from other reasons, it's one of the reasons why for women, often penetration is like their least favorite part of sex, is because they almost feel that switch from a lover to just, okay, the animal that needs to come. You know, to like, can't put it any other way. And they feel that switch at some point, you know? Yeah.
Sorry to jump in, man. If I don't, I'll lose it if I don't say it.
Yeah. Go for it. Yeah.
Your partner will be less into your advances sexually if you always must come. That's interesting. Like, if you must come,
totally,
then just a little rub, just a little cuddle. If it gets a little, there's some sexual energy moving on, then it's like, your partner, you know, and many times it's the woman, she's, I don't want to fucking do, I don't want to put out, I don't want to do all that right now. But if you, through experience, have shown your lover that, you know, that space of sexual energy, we can allow sexual energy to flow into this area together and experience that without having a destination in mind, you know, and then it comes mm-hmm. back to what you said earlier, which is, it's not that I'm not wanting to come or I'm going to put it off for no reason just to make it longer. It's just that we're totally down at any time to allow any amount of sexual energy to come in and flow and nourish our relationship at any point without having to, you mm-hmm. know, use it for our own need for pleasure or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think this kind of inflexibility about, like, it has to be the full sex.
Yeah.
And it's kind of all or nothing. This is one of the reasons why, actually, you know, especially women often, but you know, it's not just particular to women, it can also work the other way. It does often happen with women that women get like really jumpy about anything at all sexual. Like you come into the kitchen, you want to kiss her, she goes like, I don't want any sex.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, so, I want sex.
And that happens a lot. That happens a lot because there's no flexibility, because she knows that, you know, basically she's committed to everything now by just having one kiss.
Dude, it's so lame, man.
That's
so lame on our parts as dudes. Like, it's so lame that we do that.
Well, I think that the interesting thing is that it's not so much about men controlling themselves as men discovering that it's actually really good for them as well.
Yeah.
To have that flexibility, because I actually think that male sexual energy is more fragile than female sexual energy. The reason why often in relationships it feels like the man is chasing the woman is because women are so shut down, they're not really enjoying sex. So you've got this like a polarized chasing dynamic where it's just intensified, you know. But if you actually discharge it and women are having sex that is really kind of fulfilling for them, you normally, well, not normally, but you will often get a situation where the woman is the bottomless one, mm-hmm. and she could just have sex all day if you give her all day. And the guy can't. The guy, you know, for his physiology, is just a lot more taxing. So what then happens is that, you know, all these little practices of flexibility, they become great for guys to have more access to sexual energy in a relationship for themselves.
Guys, so
they can also, guys can then sort of, that flexibility starts serving men as well, because men can then have sexual Next. Connection with their lovers more frequently, yeah.
Yeah.
With in a kind of, in an easier way that it's not so taxing on them, you know?
Mm.
So I believe not so much in that guys need to control themselves, but they need to discover. They need to discover yeah. other possibilities of having sex, because good for woman, good for the guy as well, you know?
Yeah, and dude, like, that seems to be the way that a lot of women and men feel about their relationship with sex, where it's like the man wants it and the woman doesn't. But in reality, it's not that the woman doesn't want it. She doesn't want this lame-ass version of self-serving ejaculation-oriented. It's just like about you, dude. It's just about you coming. Like, you just, she makes you want to come, so you need to come. And that's like, that's what they don't want. But find a, you know, and obviously I'm saying woman and man, but this exists as, you know, for different people in different relationships. But find a partner, find a woman who doesn't want to bask in sexual energy and to be nourished by it. Like, you'd be hard pressed, right, to find someone who doesn't want to do that. And it's not that she doesn't want to have sex with you, dude. It's that you do this weird thing when you guys have sex where it's just about you coming and she's an object for you to use to come.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, if I was to be fair, obviously I would sort of counterbalance those points a little bit by saying that, well, you know, sometimes it is that, and sometimes the guy is really genuinely trying. Sometimes there is stuff on the woman's side as well that, you know, women often need to unlock in themselves and to connect with sex better themselves. But I think culturally, there is definitely sort of the established practice of sex that is very much on the foundation that works for men and doesn't work very well for women.
Yeah, so you take
most normal sex where, you know, it's not necessarily that the guy is selfish, but you're just having kind of normal sex, and it's a practice, it's a technique that works very well for the guy, not great for a woman. So much less likely to give her that fulfilling experience and to maintain her interest in sex, you know?
Mm-hmm. And even more so, it's like, it's just so many levels to this, man, because even natural, even like just run of the mill penis and vagina intercourse is so much less likely to give a woman orgasms. Right. And then even more so, we're still in the paradigm of like, men have orgasms, women want to have orgasms too, and we're still in that kind of like confined pleasure space where it's just about the orgasm. And neither partner in tradition, like the way that most people view sex, has expanded it to that space of centering yourself in sexual energy. That, dude, that's like, I want to hit on that point as many times as possible, because that's such a dope,
yeah,
such a great distinction, man. When you say control,
which one?
The distinction between seeing sex as a pleasure focused thing, where it's about getting an orgasm, it's a means to an end, versus seeing sex as a space where sexual energy is flowing and the people involved can be saturated by sexual energy and then go back into their lives richer and fuller. So when you say control, like, I don't think men need to control themselves, but rather discover, you know, a different way to view sex. How would you use consciousness as that? Do you think that when someone feels that they want to have sex and they must come, then they drop in their level of awareness because they just kind of go back to that animal level of just primitive need to more pleasure, more climax. And like, it's a less conscious state than being like, you know what I'm saying? When you're just going into that rut of just orgasm focused sex, is that less conscious?
Yeah. I think, are you talking about men specifically?
Yes.
In this case, I think men tend to kind of lose themselves in that moment. They tend to be kind of carried away by it. Yeah, I think it is a loss of consciousness in that moment, and I think it will help if the model of having sex for saturation, that will help with that, because it will kind of, if the model is saturation, then there is nowhere to get to. Like, it is about absorbing this moment now. So that brings you into this moment now.
Like a hot tub.
You know? like a hot tub.
Yeah, man.
Like being in nature, like everything. Yes, exactly.
You said saturation model.
Sorry, say?
Is that what you said? Saturation model?
Mm-hmm.
I like
that.
It's great.
Yeah. So you can saturate through the whole body. The whole body is a space that can absorb, but specifically with genital energy, when you are getting close to an orgasm, that might carry you away. Then there is an awareness of how it flows into your body and how it is filling you up right now, transmitting through you, vibrating through you, and focusing on that phenomenon. Another thing that I would say is, you know, this is a little bit more like, I don't know, don't mean to sound moralistic or something, but I think it's my personal take. It's unethical for anybody to have sex with somebody because they want to come, yeah? Or have sex with somebody because they just want an orgasm. Mm-hmm. Like, if that's all you want, you can do it yourself, and you know, you can't use another person for it, men or women. I think, you know, the reason the other person is there is not basically a device for you to come, but it is a live person with who you are interacting, with who you create that moment of lovemaking. So if you're going to do it with a person, then I think the orgasm has to be more like a side effect of interacting with that person. And if it happens while you are still in that interaction and you're feeling each other, then it's no issue. But like, you know, when it starts switching into, I'm just using this person for that, then I think it becomes unethical. Yeah.
Dude, that's crazy, man. Like, you're rolling up there, dude. You're so far up there. I'm still unhooking from all this bullshit programming, because all I hear is what I've heard before and how it contrasts to what you're saying. Like, it's unethical to fuck someone just to come. Such an interesting point, and that is.
But can I just say that this is not like what you say, that you are still unhooking from all the bullshit. The entire culture has normalized
the bullshit,
basically normalized unethical sex.
Yeah, 100%. Like,
it's normalized. It's like, you know, get him to give you an orgasm.
That's right.
Like, you know, don't let him be an asshole. Make him make you come. And it's like, you know, well, just make him, like, use that person to to give an orgasm for both sides, you know. So, and it's considered normal. It's considered like, okay, if you turn me on, you have to make me come.
Yeah,
you know, you're obliged to do that. Otherwise, you know, yeah. What are you doing here with me? You know.
So, do they say blue balls in London?
They do. Yes.
Yeah, they do. And then it's like, you're not meeting my needs, my sexual needs. That's what you hear a lot of times. It's like, she's not giving me what I need. I have sexual energy, right? It's building up. I need a release. And that's how we think about our partnerships with people sexually, is you're a place for me to go to mm-hmm. dump this sexual energy or to use you to release this. You're kind of the release valve for me sexually. And that's one way to think about it, but it's also not the way that Alexei likes to think about it. That's the opposite of the way Alexei likes to think about it.
Yes, I think if that is all you need, do it on your own.
You just like
need if that is literally all you need.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to release, you can release. Like, you don't need to have blue balls. You can just go and release.
What if you want to release with that person? What if that's your feeling? Like, oh, I feel really horny right now. I'm feeling hungry. Maybe my partner's hungry. You want to go eat something? Like, I'm feeling horny. Are you horny? Are you in the mood? You want to fuck, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what if your partner is also on the same page, you mean?
Yeah, what if they're like, yeah, I'd be down to do it. Yeah.
You know, like, I don't like to prohibit any kinds of sex.
Sure,
I like to be adding to them, and I like people to just kind of have the whole range, you know. Sometimes you just want to fuck, you know.
Yeah.
Like if it's if you're both in the same place, if it's like a fun thing to do, you're both in that mood, you know. It's a part of your range, and that in itself can be sort of, you know, a particular experience that will be. Will have a certain energy to it. I think we're just talking about, I would say perhaps also thinking a bit about not prioritizing sex, but being aware of the value of different sexual experiences, what they actually contribute, what they bring into your life, what is the different nutrition from them, being aware of that. You know, and making sure that basically you have real nutrition, even though you do, you know, all these other things for fun.
Yeah. So let's call fucking just for coming sake, like Twix bars and pleasure. It's just candy. It's just junk food, you know, it's nice sensation. It gets your attention, but it's not nourishing. It's not everything you need. Yeah. Of course we need some sweets, man. Life is wonderful. So enjoy it. What other components are there to the sexual experience? What other food groups are you missing in the bedroom?
Well, I don't like to make things too complicated, create like, you know, lots of different categories and levels. I think generally speaking, to make things really simple, you can think about sex as there is sex that is nourishing to you. So there is something, there is sex that is enriching you and bringing you that enrichment and nourishment, and then there is sex that you do just for fun, you know, for the hell of it, and they are kind of both big buckets, you know. There's lots of different kinds of sex that can go into each of those two buckets.
Yeah,
and so
and generally the theme of this conversation and one of the things I sense that you want to bring to the world is helping people realize there's another bucket than just the fun for the hell of it sex. There's a whole nother bucket.
Yes, yes, yes. It is not to tell them that first bucket is illegal and you must never do it. You know,
it's illegal. It's illegal to have sex.
Yes. It's just like, if that's all you've got, then you're with your partner for jokes.
For entertainment.
And then it becomes like and it becomes like an impoverished relationship. And then, because the need for nourishment doesn't go away. People feel the need for connection, for love and for nourishment, but they try to achieve it with trinkets, you know, and then it doesn't, you know, it doesn't deliver. So if you have like a really strong practice of nourishing sex that delivers that to you. And then you can explore all the different fun and adventurous kinds of sex, but you just with awareness, that's what they're for, you know?
Yeah.
It's also like, I think it also fits into that concept of nourishment, because we are nourishing our adventurous selves, our fun self, with that as well. So it's all a part of life. And it's not to, diminish those experiences.
Yeah.
They have their place, but it is just to bring our attention to the fact that, you know, we don't want just entertainment. It's not fulfilling for us to have just that in life. I feel that there is a kind of a gap and a need to balance more with that.
I totally
While understand. I'm aware that, you know, there's a million places people can go to learn about fun sex, you know?
Yeah, 100%. We've got too much of the fun sex material where they're lacking. We don't have enough nourishing sex. I mean, we literally are struggling to grab language for it during this conversation because we're like, I don't know, you know? It's hard to pull off of the pleasure button, you know? I know it has been for me. It's been helpful to pull off of the pleasure button. But like pleasure, what's interesting, Alex, is pleasure at first was the lead out of the darkness for the compulsive sexual behavior, because all the compulsive sexual behavior was in response to discomfort, frustration, irritation. It was void of feeling good. I just felt less bad. And then the more and more I tuned into my body, less fantasy, less anticipation, more paying attention to what's going on right now. I started to get re in touch with the sensations in my body, started to feel pleasure in my body again. And then it was like, oh my God, sex is really pleasureful. This feels really good. And then you can go beyond that. And so you can begin to expand. We say, okay, now you've joined the rest of the world, Braxton, people who are having sex that's fun and pleasurable. Now let's move on. Let's expand to include experiences that are nourishing to your soul. And it's just hard to come off the pleasure button because it feels so good. You go like, you know, but one interesting thing that you said in a video was like pulling away from just, and again, I think everyone knows at this point that we're not bashing fun and exciting, pleasurable sex, but to open and expand your experiences to include other ones. And you said that like there are so many types of sex that are not exciting, but are so good for you and so nourishing. And used the example of meditation, which I thought that was great. Meditation is so powerful and such an amazing thing to have in your life, but it's not exciting.
There are many things that are not, that we wouldn't call exciting in the sense of entertaining or kind of arousing in that way, but we really value them in life. I think, you know, I see exciting sex as one of the parts, one of the kinds of sex on the spectrum. Tell me.
Do guys maybe not feel comfortable in sex as a space to saturate in because it feels too feelings? It feels too kind of hairy, kind of like too embodied, kind of too much here and now, and less conquest?
Well, a man is a human being, and as a human being, he has a deep need for love and connection and feel good and happiness. So I would say most men have a need for that still.
But we're told,
like, you know, whether they
just the programming, like we just learned to be
told what,
like we're just told that we like crossing the finish line, touchdowns, and getting the win. So we just think that's kind of how we are the way we're told to operate in a way.
Sure. Yeah. So I guess we are talking about, you know, what is a really fundamental human experience when we take off these ideas that we're given by culture.
Yeah.
Like fundamentally, you know, we've just all been through COVID. What have we learned in the lockdowns is that human connection was practically like air to people.
Dude, you know? See, man, that's the thing, bro. It's where this gets a little bit sticky, gets a little bit scary, is connection. Like, it's like that's connecting to somebody. It gets, that's when it gets like my, I can even feel my heart kind of start to close a little bit, clench up and goes like, ah, you know, I don't know about that, man. There's some pain in there. There's some, you know, there's some trauma in there. There's some unhealed stuff in there. And, you know, hey, how about instead of connecting, we just fuck people and come. Like, that's a great way to do it. We'll just fuck as many people and we'll just like stay on that pleasure circuit all the time. I did that for a while, but it's hard, man. Like the,
well, it's, and there you go.
Yeah, the connection.
And there you go. You did it for a while, and maybe you just need to do it for a while to realize that there's nothing that, that you will not run away from yourself.
Yeah, but you feel that there's still this like risk. It's a beautiful thing, man. I love this, where the conversation is in right now. It's a beautiful thing. It, you strip away what you're told from maybe gender norms and what people expect in you, and you find you're a human being. And one, and the thing about humans is we desperately, desperately need love and connection. We need that. And
but also, look, you know, I don't think men are strangers to love and connection. So men love. Men love their parents. They love their children. They love their God. They love their friends. You know, there's like, it's for men to love is something also, you know, natural. Somehow we didn't, you know, culturally we took a turning where sex became not about love. Like, love is not the important thing in sex, which is really ridiculous, because if there's one area where I'd say, you know, has to be about love, shouldn't it be the intimacy through the bodies? But anyway, this has happened. So I think, you know, even when we, all the religions and all the spiritual traditions, eventually we arrive to that, you know, we are an experience of love and connectedness to everything. So everything is about that, you know, and men connect, they connect with each other. They connect with the sports team. They feel connection with the sports team. They feel love with the sports team, you know? So it's present in a man's life. I think just the recognition that surely it is, you have a deep need for that aspect, for that in physical intimacy with the person that you love as well. And you love that person, you know, like men, they love their partners, they love their wives.
Looking at sex as an opportunity for connection genuinely feels like a, like an ass backwards way to look at it from the way that we learn it in our community, in our upbringing, you know, it looks like, oh, it's not for the feely touchy. Like, it's for, like we said earlier, like it's for pleasure and entertainment. It's something fun to do with somebody else's body.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're really hitting good stuff here.
I think this is cultural, and there are many established sex or still drives the message that sex is not about love. Sex, in fact, making sex about love is something really mushy and boring and kind of yucky, you know?
Yeah, it is. That's the feelings that I'm getting right now.
Yeah. And I think these are like, you know, stereotypes and caricatures. And I think it's because we as a culture have not really explored sex that is real love, you know? There's we have never had a culture of loving sex that is really, you know, powerful, that is a practice where you actually can feel it as a powerful sexual energy. And if we did that, we would see that this is the most, like, I over the 20 years that I've been working, I have come to believe this is the most important sexual energy. It's the most powerful sexual energy.
Love.
There's nothing that is, yes, it is an actual energy in sex. It's an actual, you know, you could call it a practice, you can call it an intent, you can call it an experience that you're feeling in sex. And I've come to see, and I've explored this a lot, and I've worked with it a lot in the sense of like trying to understand how to put it into a practical well, into practice itself, to kind of to emphasize that aspect of the experience. And, you know, I think it is really amazing how much more powerful it is than anything else in sex. You know, so we are getting the best sex by doing that.
What does love feel like during sex?
We can get into a philosophical discussion here. I intuit, but I just try to keep it really simple. You know, like it is just transmitting the energy of love from your body to your partner. It is loving the body of your partner, not using them, not working them. It is interacting with a partner as a living person that is nourished by your love. So you're transmitting that, and you are also loving their body in the way that you're enjoying and savoring their body. So it's just an energy that you transmit in that moment. It doesn't even need you to be, you know, in a relationship as such. Mm-hmm. You know, it is an energy that exists in that moment. It's almost like a mode. If you think about a mode of that you can be in,
like a loving mode.
You know, what's the opposite of love and sex? That'd be interesting. What do you think?
The opposite of loving sex.
The opposite of loving. The opposite of love in sex.
I'd say like rape, something like using objectifying. Yeah.
Mm. For me, the opposite of love in sex is work. Just working somebody mechanically. There's no feeling in it.
Okay, hold on.
You know, you just kind of, you just stimulating it. You just working the machine.
Okay. Interesting. Working them mechanically.
Mechanically, yes.
Machine.
So this is the clitoris, and we have to do this, you know, and this is, I have to do this, you know. Yeah.
And we're trying to get in that person. Yeah, it's the whole thing, man. The whole thing. I mean, the fucking saturation model is dope, man. It is a really, really great way to look at it. It is. It's so good. The opposite of love in sex is working somebody. And working yourself, yeah.
If you're talking about a saturation model, I think the most important, the most powerful thing you can saturate with is also love from the person that you're with. It's not the sexual energy. Like, that's also very nice. But the absolutely most powerful, most impactful thing is when you absorb love.
When you absorb love.
And when you send it. Yeah.
Okay. Quick bathroom break, real quick. And then I'd love to come back to sending and absorbing love.
Let's do it.
Let's do it, man.
I'm like, I can talk for hours, man. There's no rush.
Yeah,
let's do it. Let's talk about everything. Get everything you can today.
Yeah. All right, be right back. So the things that come to mind, man, is about this love stuff. Is just how... Like, bro, sex is seen, and I appreciate just kind of let me process this out loud. It's really helping me. Mm-hmm. Sex is seen and is dirty and wrong, and there's like this just bad tone to it, at least the way I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is really funny in a religion of love, isn't it?
Yeah, which is really funny in a religion of love. But sex is this space that exists. There's a space that exists where this energy flows, sexual energy, and within sexual energy, there's these a spectrum of different emotional substances that are there, and all sex is entering that space to saturate yourself in sexual energy.
Amazing summary.
And one of those is love.
And the most important one.
What's the different texture to the love that exists within sexual energy that is not in the love that exists in doing volunteer work or helping somebody across the street? Is it the same love ingredient, just in a different mixture, like a recipe of sex?
I suppose.
Yeah.
I suppose it is also. It's a similar intent. I mean, if you follow any spiritual tradition far enough, in the end, all that's left is love anyway, right?
Yeah.
So everything is like, I don't know, this chimera is made of love or whatever. But I think there's definitely a really powerful component to physical love, which as adults we can only experience through sex.
What do you mean? And, you can only experience it through sex?
Well, you know, as a child, you get, like, you know, hugged and held by your parents, and, you know, the physical love is something you absorb as a child, and it's important to people when they had physical contact, didn't have physical contact as a child, you know? Like, as an adult, obviously, we can only get it from sexual partners. And I think it's just really, really profound. I mean, I have focused a lot on loving sex in my work, so I've tracked a lot of clients, the changes that happened in their life, in their relationships. It just seems to be like a really potent substance. And if you look into, you know, things from neuroscience, etc. So, you know, so it's not really chemistry. It's not like, you know, it's not even about oxytocin. It's about activating particular parts of your psyche and your brain through that physical love that is just really healing and nourishing and restorative and empowering. So, you know, this, it's obviously just the beginning of the exploration discovery of it. We are still to discover a lot more from it. But, you know, I think it's going to become more and more apparent why and how it's so powerful. Yeah.
What have we not talked about that is important that we talk about so far in our conversation?
What do you feel?
My mind's blown, to be honest with you, bro. My mind's kind of wide open right now. It's just like, oh, okay. I didn't know anything.
Do you need a minute? Do you need a minute to pick it all up?
I need a few weeks. In a few weeks. We need to do this again. Really?
Anytime.
Yeah. Man.
Anytime.
I'm just like, sincerely, my mind has... I've gained language today on, and maybe this is me slowing down, dude, but I've gained language on fun, thrilling sex and nourishing sex and the existence of a whole nother dimension. And also the greatest thing today has been now my brain thinks about sex as a space that exists where sexual energy is flowing. And you enter that space to saturate yourself in these life-giving, enriching, nourishing emotions, of which one is, and the most important of those, is love itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's so different.
Bet you're looking forward to being with Lauren.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the to be transparent, that makes me bump up against some of my own avoidant tendencies in love. The fear of experiencing that.
You know, I think it really isn't all that big and scary. Love in sex, it's been despised by our culture, it's been demonized by our culture, that, you know, it's this really scary thing that's going to destroy you if you experience love and sex. I think it is really, really simple, and it's just a really nice feel good, and it's just a really lovely energy that is nourishing you. I mean, you love your partner. You love transmitting some nourishing, loving energy to her. You love her body. you're receiving the same back. It's nourishing you. It's like sunshine. You're absorbing it. I think there's nothing
scary.
If you see it like that as a substance. Yeah, nothing. If you see it like that as a substance in sex, that's just like, it's substance like sunshine.
Yeah. You
know? It's just really nourishing for you. I can understand completely like when people feel, oh, I don't know if I can open to love when I meet the next person that I'm dating, because they feel all kinds of risks of like losing themselves, or they're, you know, they had problems with boundaries before, or, you know, there's all sorts of psychological stuff that goes on that, you know, is scary for people. And that's understandable. And I always try to make clear that, like, in sex, I really think things are a lot more simple, and it's got nothing to do with any of that. It's just like, if you just feel it as that energy that flows between your bodies, it's really beautiful. There's nothing bad about it. Nothing.
Dangerous about it. So you don't have to make up a story about it and say, oh, this means this, and now this, and now this might happen, and oh my God, da 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 da.
People who made stories about love in sex, I don't know where they came from, because I'm not aware of sex being practiced with love in our culture in any historical period. So I don't know where the stories came from. Is it imagination? Is it assumption? What is it? You know?
Is it the pain? Is it the trauma that people feel with love? Is it the love going away, and that's okay because that's life? Like, people fall in love and then they break up, and then instead of growing up to realize like that happens, relationships are, you know, not forever, they're not permanent, that's part of life, instead of opening themselves to that maturation process of going, you know, love comes and goes through different forms, lovers, friends, families, jobs, etc., and kind of opening yourself to the ever changing dynamic to life, that they close and say, fuck that, because it hurt when it left. So I don't want it again, because then it's just going to leave.
Sure. But you are talking here about, like I said, about love in the context of a relationship, not in sex. Yeah. So you're talking about like being with somebody, stopping being with somebody. And I always want to stay within my remit here that, you know, I'm not an expert on relationships. And I would be talking out of my ass if I was saying, oh, you know, just love is not scary. Go and, you know, be free with love, you know, stop being a wuss.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't do that, because I know that in relationships, it can be a complicated thing. Like, what is love, and what is it composed of, and what does it bring with it? And there are a lot of really good professional people who work with that. But in the space of sex that we're talking about here, it's really, really simple.
I love that.
There's nothing scary, nothing damaging about it.
I love that you say that, man. I love that you, I mean, that's a really helpful reminder for me, my brother. Like, it's a really simple thing. It's just feeling love in sex and allowing that to be part of the texture of the moment, and allowing that to be part of the experience, the exchange, to give and to receive love. And even feeling safe enough to just allow that love to be something that exists within that space that we said sex is, where sexual energy is flowing of the emotional currents. One of those is love. It's just allowing yourself to dip your hand also into that river and to feel those sensations. It doesn't have to say anything about you or anything about them or anything about, you know, the stories that may leave the bedroom and say, oh, well, I'm not worthy of love, or they're going to love me and leave me, and da 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 da. It's like, it's not even their love. Maybe it's not even their love that you're feeling. It's the love that you guys accessed together through sexual union.
Exactly. You know, that kind of, exactly.
I don't want to feel your love because it might smother me. Or I don't want to feel your love because I might lose myself in you. I want to feel your love. And it's like, nah, man, we just reached up with each other and synergistically accessed this beautiful thing called love, this current. So why not dive in?
Yes. Through your bodies, you create the portal to a dimension that is there for you.
See, that right there, man, I think that's probably a key point for people that even like myself might feel a little bit of heels down when you start saying, well, sex is about this love. Sex is about feeling love. And they go, I don't know, man, my relationship with love is kind of creaky. I got some avoidance of it, or I'm anxious about love, or I fear that I'll be abandoned, or XYZ. It's nice to think like, no, love is just, love is a, is a current, it's a frequency that exists in reality, and you can tune to it, you can experience it. And one place that it's potent is this container of sexuality. And so you can go to that mm-hmm. space with someone and experience mm-hmm. love with them, but it's not necessarily their love. It's just you guys have accessed it together and you're experiencing love. That's a really interesting way to look at it.
Well, I think you're still being a little bit chicken shit there by calling it not necessarily your love. Yeah. You can see it this way, but also, like, you know, be brave. You know, what's wrong with loving your woman in sex? Just transmitting, like, nourishing her with your love. I think we don't want to get too, like, you know, spiritually high here. I think it's really important also to leave space for, like, a really genuine, authentic, normal human connection.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It is our love. It is my love to you, and it is your love to me. And also there is that universal love that, you know, we access as well, and it all becomes love. But also, you know, there are times when you your partner, your girlfriend, your wife can come from work and she's, you know, she had a shit day, and you will hold her and you will transmit love to her. And it's just a very simple act of recharging her and nourishing her.
Yeah.
You know, with you, with your love, not with universal God's love, you know.
Damn it. I tried to dip on.
I know. Yeah. You were trying to escape.
I appreciate that.
I caught you.
I appreciate that, my friend. not many people will call you out on the bullshit. I appreciate that. Yeah.
I would also say, you know, it is definitely, you're right, you know, it's definitely pushing. It's pushing the comfort level. It's pushing the boundaries. A bit of a stretch, right? Because we're so used to not opening ourselves to love in sex. But I mean, this is the only destination, really, that's a healthy one, if you can think of,
yeah,
for sex, right? What is the next thing for sex? Like, you know, surely it has to become love.
Yeah, surely that's the 100%. That's like the aim,
so,
thing, right? It's to give and to receive love and to be saturated in love.
Yes. And, you know, there's no other logical evolution that we can think of for sex, like in a healthy way, that to become an experience of love. So, you know, if we think about, like, from it being the procreative thing and just making babies and then as pleasure and, like, what's the next thing? I mean, surely, you know, it's moving towards love. So, yes, it might be like a bit of an unusual idea, a bit of a kind of, people are meeting it a bit maybe sooner than they thought they would be ready for. But the thing is, you know, you will come to love eventually, right? Hopefully, like that's a good scenario. To come to love. Now, do you want to come to it much later in life? Do you want to come to it sooner in life? You know?
Yeah.
But sooner or later you will understand that it's all about that anyway.
Yeah.
So you might as well challenging yourself now.
Oh,
in kind of thinking, okay, yes, it is maybe a bit kind of more comfortable than I thought it would be. But if it's gonna go that way anyway, well, let's
dive in.
Do it sooner. Yes. So we can enjoy more of life ahead of us.
Man. Damn. Alexei, my man. Jesus Christ. This has been a truly, truly helpful conversation for me and my journey. And I hope other people who are listening to this feel the same way. I'm so grateful for the work that you've put into understanding this and to being a conduit for this amazing message about love and about sex. And dude, you rock, brother.
Thank you. Thank you, man. You too.
Thanks.
You rock too. Your journey. Respect it very much.
Yeah.